Next item four, Forest Crestlands Advisory Committee testimony. We have testimony today. Also welcome any other FTLAC members that might want to participate at this point.
Good morning, Chair Amundson, State Forester Doherty, members of the Board of Forestry. For the record, I am Tillamook County Commissioner David Yamamoto, also Chair of the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. With me today is Coos County Commissioner John Sweet, Vice Chair of the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties and the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. As you know, I'm rather new to my position here, and there are also several new members of the Board of Forestry. So I will ask your indulgence as I present a brief history as well as an overview of the many challenges faced by Forest Trust Land Counties, especially in light of the rapidly changing legislative proposals in the current legislative system. Let me start with just a brief overview of state forest lands managed by the Department of Forestry. The Oregon Department of Forestry manages 729,859 acres of Board of Forestry lands, for which the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties have a protected and recognizable interest. These lands are to be sustainably managed to provide timber revenue to the state, local schools and communities, and local taxing districts. The Council of Forest Trust Land Counties are Tillamook, Clatsop, Clackamas, Columbia, Washington, Benton, Lincoln, Lynn, Marion, Polk, Coos, Douglas, Josephine, Klamath, and Lane counties. The way that Forest Trust lands are managed is important to Trust Land Counties. Paramount to Council of Forest Trust Land Counties is ensuring Forest Trust lands are actively managed. Sound management practices lead to high forest production, in turn building strong communities, robust local economies, and providing critical public services. Revenues from timber harvest on Forest Trust land support education, public safety, special districts, and many other services. In order to ensure best practice in management, the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties supports keeping options open for forest management. The objectives of the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties are, number one, to protect the trust and contractual relationship between the Forest Trust Land Counties and the State of Oregon relating to management of county forest trust lands. Two, to support sound, active management of county forest trust lands, which fulfills their primary purpose of forest production and their important contributions to long-term community sustainability. Number three, to protect the flow of revenues from county forest trust lands for essential local services. Number four, to protect forest trust land counties in other matters where they may have responsibility related to county forest trust lands. And number five, to provide an organization that will effectively communicate these objectives. There has been virtually no net loss of Oregon's 30 million acres of forest land throughout the state's recorded history. At the current rate of harvest, it would take about 100 years to clear cut the entire forest. The current FRA, the Forest Resource Assessment, provided by the department, shows there is approximately 17 billion board feet of timber in our state forests. The assessment also says that there are only 8 billion board feet without any specific harvest constraints. That's an important point to remember. When you look at this, roughly half of state forest timberlands are off limits to timber production. It's very important to remember. We are growing approximately 400 million board feet of timber every year. We are harvesting about 235 million board feet per year. All of this shows that we are continuing to age our state forests into classes that will not be harvestable in the future. It must be understood that continuing pressure on timber harvest revenues have consequences on the hardworking people of timber counties. Revenue that is generated from harvest of forest trust lands supports important services at the county level, such as sheriff's patrol, jail beds, criminal prosecution services, road maintenance, parks and recreation are just a few of the examples. Continuing pressure on timber harvest also causes long-term negative economic and social impacts to schools and special districts that depend on this revenue. Taxing districts that share in timber harvest revenue include our libraries, schools, ports, and fire districts. These are important services that help rural communities have a measure of sustainability and stability. Further, loss of timber revenue to our school districts will need to be replaced by state general fund dollars. In your packet today, I have included this letter. This is coming from February of this year, from our county treasurer. It lists the 20 special districts that receive money from state timberlands. People think that when Tillamook County receives a check from the Department of Forestry, we're sitting pretty. Well, in actuality, when you look at that check from the Department of Forestry, the county keeps less than 25% of that money. The rest of that money immediately gets written out in checks to all of these special districts, over three quarters of the revenue received from state forest lands. And it includes the four school districts in Tillamook County, transportation district, soil and water conservation district, many of the rural fire protection districts in Tillamook County, the Willamette ESD, the ports of Garibaldi and Tillamook and Nehalem, 4-H extension services. The list goes on and on. These special districts rely on the money received from state forest timber revenue. So it must be understood that jobs in the woods, our mills, and truck transportation are some of our rural county's best paying, fully benefited family wage jobs. These family wage jobs contribute significantly to the social stability in rural Oregon. And here I would direct you to the second sheet that I have provided. These are the actual wages that we see in the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon is across the top. Total private sector average in the state of Oregon is $50,483. In Tillamook County, that private sector average is $36,737,000 on an annual basis. And yet when you look at the wages, average wages for forestry and logging and wood products manufacturing and truck transportation, they are actually above the state average in rural communities. When you look at leisure and hospitality, it's less than half of what is made in the timber industry. And this is important to recognize. The timber jobs, forestry and logging, wood products manufacturing, truck transportation, they're high wage jobs and they are also fully benefited jobs. When you look at leisure and hospitality, the rate is far below what we would make in the timber industry. And at the same time, these are usually not benefited jobs at all. These are extremely important jobs to rural timber counties. Continuing pressure on timber harvest takes many forms. There was a recent attempt to upgrade the marbled murrelet from threatened to endangered. The technical report issued by the Board of Forestry admits many times to the gaps in our knowledge about this cryptic and secretive bird. Oregon State University is in the third year of a 10-year study on the marbled murrelet. And what is known and reported is that the Oregon population is not decreasing. Rather, it is increasing at a rate of 1.8% per year over the past 16 years, which accounts for a 28.8% increase in the population of marbled murrelet over that period. We appreciate the department clarifying the sparse and conflicting nature of the data on the marbled murrelet and hope the department will defer further action until the results of the Oregon State University study can be added to the existing body of knowledge. The department, in conjunction with the Board of Forestry, has embarked on an update to the forest management plan. There are areas where the Council of Forest Restland Counties is absolutely encouraged to see that the department is moving in terms of the forest management plan update. But at this time, much more detailed information and development of strategies and metrics are necessary to determine our ability to support these issues. Areas we would like to come into agreement include moving away from the current structured-based management plan, consideration of a department harvest schedule to rebalance age class distributions, restoration of poorly performing areas in our forests, and a more regional approach when setting habitat objectives. While we applaud these new approaches, again, the devil is in the details. And at this point, we have no detail or specificity to determine. Another area of development by the department is the Habitat Conservation Plan, the HCP. An October 2018 HCP business case analysis by Eco Northwest, which was initiated by the department, does not provide sufficient detail about their calculations behind the analysis. The trust counties were not consulted about data, methods, or assumptions, and the report does not provide the analytical details for us to determine if the conclusions are indeed reliable. Until we learn more, we cannot have a position on the HCP. Additionally, we would not support an HCP that violates the state's contractual obligations with trust counties. Another troubling development is HB 2020, Carbon Cap and Trade, or Cap and Invest scheme, currently moving through the legislature as it relates to forest trust lands. Let me start by saying that Oregon has one of the world's best carbon sequestration mechanisms already in place, our forest lands. Through modern sustainable forestry practices, our forests have the ability to continuously sequester ever-increasing amounts of carbon. The fastest rate of uptake of carbon occurs in younger forests as they rapidly reach for the sun. As forest ages to 50 plus years and more, the rate of carbon uptake slows as the forest matures. We can then harvest the trees, and when turned into finished wood products, the carbon remains in the wood fiber. We then go in and replant the forest, and the rapid uptake of carbon starts all over again. Forest trust lands play a critical role in mitigating greenhouse gas emissions through carbon sequestration. Productive forests that are managed to produce products that store carbon have greater long-term carbon benefits than forests left unmanaged. If we think about replacing forest products with steel or concrete or plastic composites to build our homes, how does this reduce greenhouse gas emissions? The major problems we see is the issue of ever-decreasing timber harvest if carbon offsets are instituted for forest trust lands. The delta between harvest revenue and carbon offsets is huge. Forest trust lands are already managed to a higher standard than private or tribal timberlands, as evidenced by almost half of our forests under specific harvest constraints, which means we start at a higher baseline, which means lower carbon offsets versus private or tribal lands. We all remain horrified by the many conflagrations that have occurred in Oregon, California, and across the West in recent years. We cannot prevent forest fires, but we can help to make sure that these forest fires do not become conflagrations. Proper forest management can decrease the chances of forest fires becoming conflagrations. At the same time, we halt the release of carbon back into the atmosphere when we burn our forests. We must remember that timber revenue drives economic development for rural counties. In an area when the department is struggling to remain financially viable, the best way forward is to increase harvest levels, which benefits both the department and the timber counties. The amount of timberland that would need to be sequestered for carbon offsets would be huge. It has been stated by the department that entire contiguous forests are not available. We would not be able to use smaller carve-outs, which would need to be enrolled in a carbon sequestration scheme. The use of HB 2020 to further reduce fiber supply is a community killer for timber counties. I apologize for being so long and detailed, but as you can see, actions past, present, and future have placed many timber-dependent counties financially on a knife's edge, with some already having fallen off that edge. Sustainable forestry is not something we should simply aspire to. It is already a fact in the state of Oregon. Timber counties are comprised of hardworking, resourceful men and women. We are not looking for a handout, nor even a hand up. We are used to helping ourselves and our neighbors, but the ever-increasing roadblocks to our livelihoods is becoming insurmountable. Thank you for your time today. And I would appreciate very much if you would indulge us in allowing Vice Chair Sweet to have a few comments also. Thank you.
Chair Imussen, members of the board, Forrester, Doherty. David asked me to present some comments to you, comments that I made at the April meeting between the Board of Forest, or between the Forestry Department and the County Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. I'd like to talk about some things that have happened in my county, Coos County, since I took office some 6.5 years ago as commissioner. These all relate to loss of harvest base. In our county, now some of these lands extend beyond the borders of our county. I'm just going to talk about the acreage within Coos County. We have the Coos Bay Wagon Roads, some 60,000 acres. The BLM, under their new resource management plan, eliminated final harvest on all of those 60,000 acres a couple of years ago. What remains is thinning, the purpose of which is to accelerate the growth of the remaining trees to old growth type status. And then I presume there will be no more harvest. Those lands are declared late successional reserve lands. Same is true of about 150,000 acres of Oregon and California railroad lands that lie within the boundaries of Coos County. We also have the Common School Fund lands that lie within the boundaries of the Elliott Forest. Some 60,000 acres of those lie within the borders of Coos County. Hasn't been any harvest off of those for some time now, and I don't think there will be in the immediate future. There's also 7,000 acres of County Forest Trust lands within the boundaries of the Elliott Management Circle. I was wrong in my April testimony in saying there'd been no harvest off of those lands since I've become a commissioner. I believe it was 28 acres have been harvested. So I overstated my case there. I do believe that the Department of Forestry is looking at some harvest in those lands within the next few years. Now, as Dr. Nicodemus of Oregon State University would tell you, if he would remember me and if he were still alive, that the only thing memorable about my physics class is I was a very poor student. But I do remember one thing, and that's had something to do with every action has a equal and opposite reaction. Well, in this case, the action has been the removal of our counties of over 250,000 acres of ground, Wagon Road ground, ONC ground, Elliott ground, from our county's harvest base. That was the action. The reaction was that Georgia Pacific closed a sawmill. Now, there were several reasons given for that. One was timber supply. One was transportation difficulties. Another was market conditions. We have other mills still remaining in the area that are operating in spite of market conditions, operating in spite of transportation difficulties. So I think the most important reason of the three was lack of raw material. That closure put 110 people, 110 families out of a job directly at the mill. We don't know how many others might be related due to less logging, less trucking. Fortunately, we have a pretty strong tourism trade on the South Coast, and this is the peak of tourism season. I think those families will find work. But as David pointed out, those tourism jobs in our county pay about $20,000 a year, hard enough to support a family on the $50,000 average that our loggers and our mill workers and our log truckers make. $20,000 isn't going to do it. Our county is among the 8 worst counties in the state in incidence of poverty. And I'm going to talk about what poverty looks like. And I'm not saying that everyone that lives in poverty is a bad person or does bad things. But I am saying that there is a relationship between poverty and a lot of things that are not good for our society. When a person can't bring home a paycheck that will allow him, his family, to pay the rent or make the payment on a home, put food on the table, the cloth that binds families together begins to fray. And when that happens, bad things start to happen. And what we see is that people sometimes turn to drugs and to alcohol, and the situation gets worse. And what happens is really bad. And we see it in our county where we, a few years ago at least, I haven't seen recent statistics, rated among the worst three counties in the state in incidents of spousal abuse, substance abuse, child abuse. I saw a recent Ford Family Foundation study that revealed we have a high school graduation rate of 58%. Kids don't do well. They don't have a safe place to sleep, meal on the food on the table, a loving environment. So some of the things that have happened to us are very tragic. And I think it just goes to show the importance. Well, let me back up a little bit. I think we pretty much know in a lot of rural Oregon, we're dependent upon our natural resource economies. And whether it be forestry or whether it be farmland or ports and fishing or our natural beauty and the tourism that it brings, that's where our jobs are. We've not been successful in trying to recruit, and I don't think we ever will be, the Intels and the Nikes of the world. So we're dependent upon natural resources. And when we deprive our citizens unnecessarily, in my view, of some of the opportunities that come with that, bad things happen to our people. Bad things happen to our children. We lose a whole generation. So I guess what I'm pointing out here is that there's lots of pressures I realize that you all have to deal with when it comes to, you know, what products, what outputs do we have from our forests. But I just want to emphasize how important harvest and the jobs that generates, both in the logging and in the manufacturing and the trucking industries, that are how important those are to rural Oregon. So thank you very much.
To Yamamoto, much of your testimony was pretty much the same that we've heard from you before, but I noticed one thing you did add was, which I appreciate, is where some of these monies are going, you know, besides the county government. So that's great to know. And you may not be able to answer this now, but I'd be curious, I'm always trying to kind of get to the big picture, that if we were looking at the budget of, say, Tillamook County and all of these other government entities and school districts where this money is being shared, what percentage of all of those total budgets is coming through this program, through the Department of Forestry? Are you able to answer that?
I am. Each special district would be different.
I understand that. So maybe that's but I would love to, maybe in the future, just, you know, it really makes a difference to be for us as we judge these things, whether we're looking at 3% or whether we're in a situation, which I know we're not, like Alaska, where everybody gets a check from natural resources instead of having to pay any taxes. And you know, that's the far extreme, obviously. But you know, it is part of our job to try to judge the actual impact. And it would be lovely if you could do that in the future for us.
Board Member Kelly, I appreciate that question very much, especially when it comes to school districts. It varies from year to year because School districts receive money depending on where the timber harvest occurred within the county. Okay. We do have a school district, a Neocondi School District in North Sonoma County that relies heavily on state forest timber revenue. Nestucca School District in the south gets much, much less money when it comes to these timber.
We understand. I'm not really trying to get at the detail of year to year. I think you understand what I'm trying to get at. It's just a feel for the big picture impact here.
Absolutely.
These rural communities.
I will endeavor to gather some of that information and present it to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.